Wow. That was awesome. Ladies, that's a preview of what you can get Sunday night. This Sunday night, right next door in the gym next door, you're going to have a women's night of praise and worship. And you'll be led in worship by that group right there. And so be sure to come on out, ladies, and praise the Lord. Also wanted to remind folks that this Sunday, Esterlin will be here. So we have a wonderful worship and praise band who will be with us Sunday morning at both services. And they're a lot of fun, very talented. And so it'd be a good Sunday, too, to invite some friends if you'd like to bring them along with you to visit. And just check out Esterlin. Also, I always want to announce when the magazines come in. Here's the latest batch of Calvary Chapel Mission Magazine, and those are free. They're out there on the back information booth right out there on that counter, and go ahead and grab one and read it and pray for the missionaries and what the Lord is doing. Tonight, we're moving into the book of Joshua, so let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And I got to tell you, this is one of the most encouraging books in the scripture because it is a book of victory. In this book, God's people victoriously take the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And it's a wonderful, wonderful testimony to God's power and his ability to move his people into victory. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, as we turn our attention now to your word. We want to thank you for the victory that you have already secured. And Father, I pray that we would live our lives in your victory, from your victory, that we would realize that victory, that we would not be defeated. Lord, help us to realize tonight all that you've made available to us. Lord, for us to keep our eyes upon you, to live in dependence upon you. Encourage your people tonight. No matter what the obstacles may be, no matter what the challenges may be, Lord, we are victorious in you. And we look to you and we hold on to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua chapter 1, we have an inauguration day. This is inauguration day for Joshua. Moses has brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt to the brink of the promised land, and at the age of 120 years old, he died. And now, Joshua, between the ages of 85 and 90 years old, takes over, and it's his job to lead the people now into the promised land. And there is no question that Joshua was the right man for this job. No question. Joshua was familiar with all of the history. He had seen everything up close. Joshua was born and raised in Egypt, which means he was born into slavery. Between his teens and 40s, he suffered as a slave in Egypt. He would have been one of the many Israelites who groaned in slavery, crying out for a deliverer. He knew slavery. He remembered Egypt. Joshua was also an eyewitness of all that God did through Moses. Joshua was there when Moses shows up, confronts Pharaoh. Joshua saw the 10 plagues. Joshua was there in Egypt on that night of Passover, which would have been extra scary for him because he was the firstborn son in his family. Joshua was with the nation as they left Egypt. Joshua went through the Red Sea. Joshua saw the glory of God descend upon to Mount Sinai. Joshua was there throughout the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Joshua ate that manna. Joshua drank that water that had been supernaturally provided on multiple occasions. Joshua saw all that. And we also know that Joshua, along the way, became right-hand man to Moses. He became the assistant of Moses. So he saw everything up close. Joshua was the general who led the people against the Amalekites in that victory soon after they crossed the Red Sea. Joshua accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai halfway. Joshua would stand guard at the tent of meeting while Moses was meeting with the Lord. Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land. And he was one of the two of the 12 spies that encouraged the people to go in and take that land. Joshua was a man of God. Joshua was a man of faith. As we talked about last week, Moses invested in Joshua. Moses trained Joshua up in the ways of the Lord, in the word of the Lord, as a leader, administratively, in all of those ways. So there is absolutely no question that Joshua was the right man for this job. But even so, that in no way diminished the immensity of the challenge that he would face. Joshua, when he takes over for that nation, is faced with a huge challenge for that nation. In fact, you get the sense from our text tonight that on his inauguration day, Joshua was intimidated. He was fearful, very insecure, uncertain. Several times, God will say to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, Joshua, nor be dismayed." He was fearful. It was intimidating. The challenge ahead of him was great. Number one, he's taking over for a great man of God. Moses was a great man, a great leader. Moses left behind him big shoes that had to be filled. And it's intimidating when you take over for somebody who's been such a great leader. It's one thing to be the right-hand man to the guy in charge, and quite another thing to be the guy in charge. At this point, all of the responsibility rests on Joshua. Also, he knew the threats that they were going to face once they crossed over that Jordan River. He'd been in the land. Remember, he was one of the 12 spies. He saw the fortified cities. He saw the walls. He saw the giants. He saw the military forces of the enemy. He saw all those dangers and threats. And he's going to lead his people into that area. And then third, he knew how difficult the nation of Israel could be to lead. That nation was unstable. Time after time and time again, Joshua saw how the people complained against Moses. "Oh, we're hungry. Oh, we're thirsty. Moses, why did you take us out of Egypt and bring us out into the wilderness to die?" There were times when they even staged mutinies against Moses. There was a time when they wanted to stone Moses to death. And these are the people now that you've got to lead. So I want you to put yourselves in the sandals of Joshua on his inauguration day. Tremendous challenge for him, for his people, for the nation.
And it's so beautiful in our text tonight because we see the Lord God himself audibly encouraging Joshua. God's words of encouragement and support and resources to Joshua, which I think made all the difference in the world. Look at verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice something right here. I want you to notice what the Lord said to Joshua right here. The Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, I have called you into this position. I have called you into this role. I have selected you for this work. You are the one whom I have called and anointed to take this people across that Jordan River and to go into that promised land and to take it. This is God saying to his servant, I've called you. Arise. My calling, my anointing is upon you. Now listen very carefully. When you know that God has called you to something, and when you know that God has anointed you for a work, very encouraging. And because of that, you can be very confident in what he's called you to do. Notice also that the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, it's time to move forward. It's time to forget the past. It's time for you to turn the page. It's time for you to arise now and get moving. He says to Joshua in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, does that sound very compassionate? Pretty blunt. Moses, my servant, is dead. You know what? I think God was meaning to be blunt. He was stressing the finality of that ministry. See, the nation of Israel mourned the death of Moses for 30 days. Joshua mourned the death of Moses, his friend, for 30 days. And so now God is saying to Joshua, listen, Moses is dead. His work that I had for him is over. He completed it. He finished it. Close the book on that. I've brought him home. Joshua, don't be mourning. Joshua, don't sit there wondering whether or not you'll be able to do as good a job as Moses did. Move. Arise. Go into that next chapter. Without question, I believe the Bible teaches that we as Christians are to be forward-thinking people. As Christians, we are not to live in the past. We are not to dwell in the past. We are to be serving God today and moving forward today. It's been said, God buries his workers, but his work goes on. And it was time now for Joshua to move forward. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's a great picture of what the Lord wants for us in our lives. We're holding the plow and we're looking ahead. We're not dwelling in the past. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That should be our mentality. We can remember the past, we can learn from the past, but Christian, you are not to dwell in the past. And you're certainly not to let anything in your past keep you from serving God today and moving forward today. I love it. The Lord says, arise. Let's move. Look at the wonderful promises then God gives to Joshua. Start again at verse 2. The Lord speaking to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Three certain promises that God gave to Joshua on this his inauguration day. Promise number one, I am giving you the land. That land is yours. It's my gift to you. Verse 2, "Go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them." Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." Then he gives them the boundaries in verse 4. All that land is yours. In verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers." I promise you, Joshua, you're going to cross the Jordan River. I've given you the land. You're going to get all that land, and you're going to divide all that land as an inheritance among the 12 tribes of my people. It's awesome. You've got the land. I promise. It's yours. The second promise, God promised to take care of the enemies. Look at verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Joshua, don't be afraid of the fortresses. Don't be afraid of the walls. Don't be afraid of the armies. Don't be afraid of the giants. Don't be afraid of your enemies. I've got them. No one will be able to stand up against you. I promise you victory. That's a great thing to know before you get in a fight. Amen? If you're going to get in a fight, isn't it good to know that you're going to win the fight before you get in the fight? That's what God is saying to Joshua. No one will be able to stand up against you. And then probably the greatest promise, the promise that meant most to Joshua. God says to Joshua on his inauguration day, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you." Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will not leave you nor forsake you. Skip down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, I'm not leaving you. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And I think the most comforting part of this promise was when he says to Joshua, Joshua, listen, as I was with Moses, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. And man, God was with Moses in a powerful way, wasn't he? All of those miracles and the way God used Moses. And I believe that on this day, Joshua was wondering, will I be like Moses? Will I have God's presence upon me like Moses? Will God use me like Moses? And here God says, I will be with you in the same way that I was with Moses. That is the most beautiful, precious promise. Don't worry, Joshua. I've given you the land. I've defeated all the enemies in your life. And I'm with you, and I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Don't you just know that Joshua held on to those promises? What a comfort. What an encouragement. And then God also gave Joshua responsibilities. Things that he would be required to do. And first of all, implied in this text is the fact that he would need to cooperate with God. He and the nation of Israel would need to cooperate with God in these promises. In other words, God gave them promises. They were to act upon them. They were to move out because of them. God says, I'm going to take care of all your enemies. That did not mean that God was going to wipe out all of the enemies in the land so that once they crossed the Jordan, they came to a land that was unoccupied. No, they were going to have to fight. They were going to have to go in and battle. God says, I've given you your enemies, but you have to fight. God says, I've given you the land, but you got to go in and take the land. You got to actually cross the Jordan River and march into the land. God isn't going to fly them in on magic carpets. They're going to have to go for it. In fact, I love verse 3. Look at that verse closer. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Joshua, I've given you the land, but you've got to go put your foot down. You have to go walk upon it. You have to march upon it. You have to tread upon it. Go get it. Cooperate. Fight. Battle. March. Move forward. Based on the promises of God. Gang, that's very important. The promises of God are not given to us to make us lazy. We don't receive the promises of God and say, okay, well, that's awesome. I can relax. No, the promises of God are to be something that we act upon, that motivates us, that causes us to go out and put our foots down. to get out there and walk through the land and take it.
In fact, there was a Bible commentator that just made this real simple statement that just really nailed me in the heart. He simply said this: the promises of God are prods, not pillows. Think about that. And don't ever forget that quote. The promises of God are prods, not pillows. When God gives you a promise, that doesn't say, just go to sleep. The promises of God are something to be proactive with, to move forward, to stand upon, to take. So they would have a responsibility to cooperate with God. Look at another responsibility that they were to have. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. My life verse, one of my life verses, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, let me tell you right here on your inauguration day, God says to him, I've given you my word. You must know my word. Meditate on my word day and night. Have it be a part of your thinking. Your word needs to be upon your mouth. That is, you're speaking it often. It becomes a part of you. You're teaching it to the people. Joshua, observe all the commandments in my law. Joshua, don't ever look to the right or look to the left. Don't ever stray from my commandments. Know them. Absorb them. And live them. And Joshua, let me tell you this. If you do that, your way will be prosperous. Your way will be successful. Joshua, you'll be fruitful. Joshua, you'll live in victory. Joshua, you'll lead this people into the land of victory. There will be fruit. The task that I've called you to will be completed. Awesome. Joshua, I have called you to this task. Joshua, it's time to look forward. Joshua, here are my promises. Joshua, here are your responsibilities. Now go forward. Joshua reacted quickly. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. All right, guys, get ready. He goes through the camp, tells everybody, get provisions, get packed, get ready. In 3 days, we cross this Jordan. No waiting, leading. And look how the people respond to him in verse 16. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Joshua, we're with you. Joshua, we're on board. And folks, they do cross the Jordan River. And they do take out all of the enemies. And they do grab the land. And they do divide the land. It's beautiful. So beautiful. You know, 3 months from tomorrow, we're going to have an inauguration day. Boy, I wish we were inaugurating Joshua, don't you? I mean, this is epic. This is one of the highlight reels in the history of Israel. This is Israel at one of their best moments. With a godly leader in place. And truth is championed. And people live in a state of health, and it's fruitful. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. And it's the way God intends people to live. In the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. I want to bring a little bit of personal application from this text to us tonight. God, and you see it throughout Scripture, always places big challenges before his people. God puts big challenges before his people. Challenges that are bigger than his people. This was a huge challenge for Joshua. God put a huge challenge before Moses. God put a huge challenge before Abraham. God put a huge challenge before Noah. God put a huge challenge before Deborah and Ruth and David and Solomon. And God put a huge challenge before those 12 disciples before he left. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a challenge. That is a huge challenge. God puts challenges before his people. And I believe that God has put a challenge before us. God has called us to live in a world that is becoming darker and darker. God has called us to be salt and light upon this earth. The Great Commission is still the great challenge. We are to be taking the gospel to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are to be witnesses to people on this planet. The challenge is there. And I got to tell you, it looks daunting. Things don't look good to me out there. Here we are. Here's the challenge. And we need to be encouraged by the word of the Lord just the way Joshua is. Listen, God's calling is upon us. His calling and anointing is upon his people. Of all the times in human history, I want you to think about this. God has chosen you to be alive on this planet at this time, in this country. God ordained you to be here. I think of the book of Esther, and you remember what Esther was called by the Lord to do. And you remember it was said of Esther, perhaps you've been born for a time such as this. There's no question. If you're a Christian here tonight, God has called you to be a Christian here. You are called to be a witness. You have His anointing. You have His Holy Spirit. And rest in that. God's chosen you. God selected you. And we are to have that forward-looking mentality. We are to be serving God in this present day and moving forward. You know, don't fall into that trap where you look back, oh, I remember years ago when our nation was Christian, when things were more innocent. Oh, I remember the revival. We need revival now, don't we? 3 weeks from today, if your candidate doesn't win, are you going to throw in the towel? Our candidate's Jesus, right? No matter who wins, no matter who wins, no matter where this nation goes, we are the people of God, and we are to march forward in His strength and in His power. Trust Him. He's in charge. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us promises. Wonderful promises. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God has given you every spiritual blessing that is available to His people. He's given it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 2 Peter chapter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. All things have been given to you. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it. He will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And then that wonderful verse that I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, when Jesus said to Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We have these promises. Now don't just go to sleep on them. Act upon them. Make decisions with your life based upon them. Grab hold of them. And that beautiful promise that God made to Joshua is the same promise that He makes to us. He's with us. God is with us. I will be with you to the ends of the age, Jesus said. Now, I want you to think about this. The God of Moses was the same God of Joshua and the same God of David and the same God of the 12 apostles. And He's your God. Take that personally. God saying to us tonight, personally, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Man, and run with that. Don't be afraid. We have the responsibility to act on those promises. And of course, as God's people, we have the responsibility to do just what God said to Joshua to do with the written word. Amen? Meditate on his word. Read his word. Know his word. This idea of meditate, the Hebrew word speaks of a cow chewing its cud. That's a great way to think of meditating. A cow chewing his cud. What does a cow do? Grabs some grass in the morning. Chews on it. Swallows it. Brings it back up again. I'm sorry, I'm being gross. Chews on it some more. Swallows it. Up. Chews on it some more. Swallow. Up. That's what we should be doing with God's word. You take a whole bunch of it in the morning and you put it in your heart and you put it in your brain. And throughout the day, you bring it back up and you just keep meditating on it. You just keep thinking God's word, speaking God's word, obeying God's word, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, observing, teaching. That is the key, my friend. Listen, that's the key. God said, if you do that, your life will be prosperous. Your life will be successful. There will be fruit. You will walk in victory. And really, there's no other way. I heard about a guy who was looking out into the garden one day, and he saw three things in the garden. First, he saw a butterfly. The butterfly was beautiful, and it would alight on a flower, and then it would flutter to another flower, and then to another. And only for a second or two, it would sit, and then it would move on. It would touch as many lovely blossoms as it could, but derived absolutely no benefit from it. He says, then I watched a little longer, and along came a botanist. And the botanist had a big notebook under his arm and a great big magnifying glass. The botanist would lean over a certain flower and he would look for a long time. And then he would write notes in his notebook. He was there for hours writing little notes. Closed them, stuck them under his arm, tucked his magnifying glass in his pocket, and walked away. The third thing he noticed was a bee, just a little bee. But the bee would light on a flower, and it would sink down deep into the flower, and it would extract all the nectar and pollen that it could carry. It went in empty every time and came out completely full. We need to be like the bee when it comes to God's word. Not just landing on it from time to time. Not just writing notes about it and have this academic understanding of God's word. But it's getting into it. It's getting into God's word and meeting with God in the pages of Scripture. Pulling all of that life out. That food. That nutrition. And then being strong with all that information as we go out. And we face that challenge. God's put this challenge before us. Here we are. Let's do these things. Father, I pray Lord, that we would meet this challenge. And Lord, I do believe in my heart and just in what's going on that we're going to meet some serious challenges. And so I pray that we would hear your word to us tonight that says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed.
Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. You're with us. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that you have already won the victory. Our enemies have already been defeated. Lord, help us as your people to fight this battle from that position of victory with great confidence in you. And then, Lord, I pray that the promises that you make to us in your word, Lord, that they would begin to mean more to us than ever before in our lives. We would act upon them. Father, I pray that our time with you daily in your word would be sweet. That we would feed regularly upon your word. And Lord, I'd also like to take the time tonight to pray for this nation, to pray for our country on the brink of this election. We know you're in charge, and so we're going to trust you. Lord, whatever the case, whatever path this country goes down, I pray that we would be strong and courageous. We would be salt and light. We would trust in you, that we would stand for truth. That we would continue, Lord, to share the truth with others. Lord, just as you told Joshua to arise, you tell us tonight to arise. May your church arise. May the sleeping saints arise. In Jesus' name, amen.